Money FM 89.3, the best of the afternoon update. Money in the Market on Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to Money in the Market. I'm Ahmad Akhtar. Uncertainty appears to be the only certainty left when it comes to assessing the global economic outlook. According to the World Economic Forum, economists aren't just divided on the prospects of a worldwide recession in 2023, but they are about as divided as it is possible to be. 45% think it is likely, while 45% think it is unlikely. Even the 3% who see it as extremely likely are balanced out by the 3% who see it as extremely unlikely. So what's contributing to the uncertainty, and can investors navigate the choppy waters ahead? Joining me on the phone today to make sense of it all is Jeremy Tan, CEO at Tiger Fund Management. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Jeremy, first of all, the world's biggest central banks last week struck very different tones on monetary policy. The European Central Bank hiked rates and surprised markets with a worsening inflation outlook. This followed the US Fed's decision to pause rate hikes. Just days before that, China's central bank lowered its key medium-term lending rates, while the Bank of Japan left its ultra-loose policy unchanged. These different approaches are indicating that there is a new divergence on the right approach for monetary policy, are they not?
Well, if you look at the divergent approaches by the major central banks, I think they do indicate a divergence in the view of appropriate monetary policy stance. Mm. I think this also reflects basically the varying economic conditions right now across different economic cycles and the challenge that each country and each central bank face. And therefore, you can see that the policy objective for different countries and also different regions are actually quite different. Mm. If you look at the economic central bank, the ECB decision to hike rates last week, I think you can see that ECB has been actually behind the curve in terms of its rate hike. Mm. And the current worsening inflation does actually suggest that the ECB being late in the curve, they will probably be more hawkish compared to other central banks like the US that have actually paused, or even other more accommodative central banks. I think it's the ECB's focus right now to actually contain the inflationary pressures and to achieve the price stability right now, even though inflation has actually slowed from double digits to actually 6.1% last month. And if you look at US Federal Reserve, I think the decision to pause rates this month in June, I think does imply a more cautious approach. Mm. I think they really want to really monitor the inflationary dynamics and also the global uncertainty before they make another rate hike. Although I think Powell does actually state that in the last FOMC in his speech that he will actually raise rates by another two times. I think the worst of the US rate hike cycle is probably close to over. And if you look at PBOC and in Japan, at the Bank of Japan, I think they have continued to maintain that loose monetary policy. I think they are more accommodative compared to the other, central banks such as in the US and the EU. I think these central banks, I think they will be prioritizing to stimulate their economy, to boost lending, and also basically address some of the near-term challenges that they face. Mm. I think all this divergence in the monetary policy of these central banks, I think they do come with the pressures that each economic conditions that they face currently.
Now, analysts say that the differing approaches also illustrate that the global economy is no longer synchronized, but rather just a collection of very different cycles. Would you agree with that sentiment?
Well, if you look at historically, the global economy does experience periods of synchronization. The major economies around the world, I think, did actually move in similar directions during globalization. Mm. However, I think in recent years, I think that has actually been quite divergent due to the different economic trends, the range of globalization trends that each different country actually experienced were also different. So major nations, some of them actually benefited more in terms of that globalization trend compared to others. And as a result, you can see that in the near term, I think there has been a difference in that policy of these major central banks. Mm. I think with the COVID-19 pandemic, I think we can see this divergence actually even more so stark compared to different countries. I think we have seen that different countries containing the COVID-19 pandemic, I think they have mitigated the impact to different degree. Some countries actually experienced a very quick rebound, while others actually face more prolonged challenges. So I think each country right now actually face a different political, trade tensions, technological advancements, and also environmental concerns. And as a result, I think there is actually different set of policies that actually these central banks are actually targeting. And as a result, they are moving in different directions. However, I would like to say that the global economy right now is still interconnected despite the deglobalization trends after COVID-19. And I think this interconnection is necessary for financial markets, trade flows, and also supply chains to make sure that the global economy grows in the best way forward.
Okay. Inflation is a term that's been doing the rounds plenty in recent times. In fact, when it started to surge in 2021, there were many anticipating a new age of permanently higher inflation. But it appears to have peaked in mid-2022 and has been declining ever since in North America and Europe. Measures of inflation expectations indicate that investors actually expect a quick return to low inflation. Is that in line with your expectations as well?
Well, if you look at inflation, it has indeed peaked last year, in June of last year for the US, peaking at 9.1%. I think going forward, you know, we have seen inflation coming down to the tune of 4% as of May in the US. However, the core inflation, I think, still remains very, very high. Core inflation still clocked in at about 5.3% in May compared to last year. And I think this is still well above the Fed's long-term target of 2%. I think going forward, the normalization of rental prices, energy prices this year, I think will continue to drive inflation back down to the 2% inflation targets closer towards 2024. And I think looking at the CPI basket, there remains a number of sticky factors that is preventing that. Shelter costs being one, there's about one third of the CPI basket. I think that will continue to fall for the rest of the year towards 2024. And I do think that, you know, by next year, we could see a better picture in terms of that inflation print that the Fed is actually targeting.
Now, I want to touch on a World Economic Forum report that was published last month. It stated that Asia is expected to experience the most buoyant economic activity, with 93% of economists surveyed predicting at least moderate growth in the region. China leading the charge with its reopening after lockdowns, prompting 97% of respondents to forecast moderate, strong, or very strong growth in the country. I suppose this means investors should be focusing their attention on opportunities in Asia. Is that correct?
Yes, I think definitely. I think Asia this year will be the driver of the global economic growth. I think while Western worlds are actually shrinking into a slower growth environment or even a recessionary environment, I think the Asian economy does provide that upside for global growth for investors, whether be it China or India or ASEAN countries. I think what actually particularly stands out for me is actually China on the back of the reopening tailwinds that was actually announced at the start of the year. However, that actually quickly faltered. And as a result, I think the central banks and the government is actually reassessing their 5% GDP growth targets for the rest of this year. We have seen, due to the poorer than expected economic number, the industrial numbers that we have seen in May, the China central banks have actually come out to cut the short-term 7-day repo and also the medium-term repo. And as we have speak today, they have also cut 1-year loan prime rate by about 10 basis points. And they have also cut 5-year loan prime rate by the same magnitude for the first time actually since August. As a result, I think we have seen the weakening of the yuan, and that is actually positive for China exports going forward. I think this set of monetary easing by the PBOC, I think signals more monetary stimulus on the horizon. I think perhaps more targeted measure, whether it be to the property sector that accounts for 25% of the GDP, and also targeting the unemployment rate that's actually in the tune of double digits for the youth, I think that will actually drive perhaps better consumption growth going forward for the economy.
Okay. One of the major hindrances to a more positive global economic outlook, according to Deloitte, is the U.S. banking crisis. In fact, even the U.S. Fed has indicated that the banking situation will likely influence its monetary policy decisions in the months to come. Could you elaborate a little more on this correlation?
Well, I think the market believes that the Fed cannot continue to keep rates higher without the economy actually cracking. Mm. I think since the start of the year, we have seen that due to the cumulative tightening of interest rates by the Fed, I think that has actually put a strain on the economy and especially for the banking sector. Mm. We have actually seen at least three banks collapse due to the sharp rise in interest rate, and as a result, they couldn't manage their interest rate risk and their duration risk as well. Mm. I think one of the key risks for the U.S., I think, lie in the commercial real estate sector, which a lot of the smaller and mid-sized banks have actually a very large exposure to this sector. In fact, 80% of the U.S. commercial real estate sector loans are actually provided by some of these smaller mid-sized banks. Mm. And as a result, I think there is a view that by the market that the Fed cannot continue raising rates, and more banks could actually crack under such pressure. And so I think there is definitely a correlation between the banking failures that we have seen and the rising interest rate environment.
Okay. Just to put you on the spot a little bit here, moving forward, what is the best possible scenario for the global economic outlook for 2023? And on the flip side, what is the worst case scenario?
Well, if you look at the best case scenario, I think we have already seen that in the first half of this year. Mm. I think global equities continue to trade higher, and economic data actually came out stronger than expected. We have seen US GDP growth in the first quarter being stronger than expected, despite some of the unexpected shocks that we are seeing in the banking sector. Mm. The debt ceiling drama, I think that has not derailed the confidence of investors. Inflation has also started to come off. That is also one of the good positive scenario that we are seeing in the markets. And compared to last year, we are not actually seeing that kind of commodity shocks that we are seeing as a result of the Russian-Ukraine war. Mm. The lower commodity input prices, I think that is actually a strong positive backdrop in terms of prices and also economic growth for 2023. Mm. However, on the flip side, in terms of the worst case scenario, as we have mentioned, I think due to the Federal Reserve's higher for longer path of interest rates, I think we could potentially see, more defaults in consumer and also other businesses. As we have mentioned, the smaller and mid-sized banks, I think, continue to face that banking crisis. And other factors, I think, continue to play out will also include the geopolitics. The Russian-Ukraine war continue to still play out, and the commodity shocks that could come as with last year continue to be one of the key risk factors for the global economic growth this year.
Yeah, so many moving parts in the global economic picture, so plenty to look forward to. Before I let you go, Jeremy, what should investors be looking out for from a macro environment perspective in the coming days or weeks?
Yes, I think one of the key things that the investors could be looking out for, I think, would be in terms of the Federal Reserve's interest rate path. I think coming out from the June FOMC, we have seen the Fed took a pause in June. However, I think, the Fed's hawkish mood could continue to return in the second half. I think the Fed continues to point out that they will continue the interest rate hikes to the magnitude of two hikes, perhaps in the tune of 25 basis points in the second half before stopping or even pivoting towards interest rate cuts in 2024. I think the persistent inflation, especially in the core inflation front, the very strong labor market, which is actually a double-edged sword, whether be it in terms of the economic growth or the inflation trends, I think that could actually paint a picture in terms of the risk going forward.
Okay, well, we wait with bated breath as developments unfold in the near-term future. Thank you, Jeremy, for your time and insights today.
Thank you very much.
I've been speaking with Jeremy Tan, CEO at Tiger Fund Management. Stay with Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.